rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes the things sown into it spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations.
As with gladness men of old is in the blue hymnal, page 290. As with gladness men of old. Father, we thank you for this season. We thank you for this season of where we celebrate the greatest gift, Lord, that you could ever give us, the gift of your Son. Lord, we celebrate light in the darkness. And Lord, we thank you for who you are, for what you've done, and that you're faithful and that you're good. And Lord, we pray for those that are sick this morning. Father, for Joyce Calvert, healing on her lungs, strength over her body, in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Mary Cruz, that you would give strength to Mary, that Mary would have wisdom, and Lord, you'd surround her with your peace, and Lord, bless Mary with strength. We pray the same for Pam Pereira, that you would give her grace, that you would give her strength, that you would continue to provide for her, and Lord, bless her and comfort her. We thank you, Lord, for Bonnie Williams and her generosity and her just her giving heart, her patient heart. And Lord, we bless Bonnie in Jesus' name as she has her own health issues and as she cares for Jerry. God, we pray that you would give her grace. And Lord, we bless Bonnie in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Mandan. We pray strength over Mandan in Jesus' name, healing over his whole digestive system in Jesus' name. Father, bless in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for those that are grieving. We thank you, Lord, for Reverend Dr. Freddie Banks Jr. and the man that he was and the gift that he was to this community. And Lord, we pray for comfort for his family in Jesus' name and all who loved him and knew him. Father, we pray that you would come alongside and Lord, that they would just sense your nearness and your presence. And bless, Lord, his family and those that are grieving him in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Ian and his grandfather's passing, Ian and Robin. Lord, we just pray blessings and comfort upon Ian and his family grieving the loss of his grandfather. We pray, Father, for Eleanor, her daughter, co-teacher's husband, that you would just Lord says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Father, we pray for the Nigerian Christians who were slaughtered on Christmas Eve, 200, Lord, probably more than that. And Lord, we pray grace, we pray mercy, we pray, Lord, comfort on the families as they grieve the loss, livelihood, homes that were burned. And Lord, we pray for the situation in Nigeria and throughout, Lord, throughout the world where there's persecution, North Korea, China. Lord, we pray that you would give grace to Christians, Lord, that they would not shrink back, but you would give them boldness to stand for you in this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for the promise in the book of Revelation that you the songs of the martyrs that are going up before the throne, that you hear that. And Lord, the blood of the martyrs that you will answer, Lord, that you're going to repay. And Lord, we pray just blessings and strength upon the persecuted church in Jesus' name, that they would stand for you, that they would have joy, that they would sense your nearness and your presence. God, we ask for your mercy. We pray for the situation in Israel, Jesus. We pray protection upon innocence in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jesus, we pray because you told us to, that you would send forth laborers into the harvest field. Lord, that you just send them forth. We thank you for Bevan Stein. We thank you for John Walden and his wife. And Lord, we bless them and their ministries. We thank you, Lord, for over $1,000 that has been given. And Lord, we pray for more, that we would be generous people to support kingdom work throughout the world. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you, God, for their generous hearts. And Lord, give us vision. Give us your heart, Lord, your heart for the unreached, your heart for the lost, that what breaks your heart, God, would break our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see you rightly, and out of seeing you rightly, Lord, that we would love one another. That we would be givers and prayers. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. Every need, every sickness, every issue, Lord, that we came in here today, we just lay them down. We pray them silently before you. We ask for help. We ask for you to come. Our family members, Lord, that do not know you, Father, we pray for salvations in households, salvation for our loved ones and friends who do not yet know you. And we pray, Father, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we lift up these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. Lord, we offer it up to you as worship unto you. Lord, as we give, we say we trust you. And Lord, you are worthy of it all. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless the offering and you'd bless the givers for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing the Gloria Patri. Our gospel lesson is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35.
And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and And this was righteous and devout. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.
What child is this? Christmas is for worship. And I stopped with the angels, but you keep reading the narrative story, and there's just continual worship. You had the angels that worshiped, then you had the wise men worship, you have Simeon and Anna who worship, and so all throughout the narrative of Jesus' birth, there's worship that breaks out. And Zechariah was a man that had been disappointed. He was a good man, he was a righteous man, he was a priest before the Lord, but there were some disappointments in Zechariah's life, and all of us have been where Zechariah is, and I don't want to just fly by him, because I want to spend a little bit more time there. I'm going to read into some things. There's some things I'm going to say today that the scriptures don't say about Zechariah, but I'm going to take what he struggled with and apply it to where we are, and I really have a sense that that's where some of you are, and we can take great, we can learn. I titled this sermon, Lessons from Old Men, and Zechariah and Simeon, and these are lessons that all of us can take to heart. And Father, I pray that we would have ears to hear what your Spirit has to say to the church. And I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the saints of old that have gone before us. And Lord, we can learn from them, and we can be encouraged from their lives. And it speaks to where we are. And Lord, as we say goodbye to 2023 and go into 2024, there's some really good just principles for, I hate to use that word, I'm so overused, but Lord, there's some just some good things for us to learn. And I pray, Father, that you would anoint me today, that what's in my heart, what you've given me to preach, Lord, that it would come forth with clarity, with boldness. Lord, you did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. And I pray that your word would go forth in power today, that it would fall on good soil, that we would really, really hear. Give me the words to say, Father, I offer it up to you as an offering, and Lord, I need to hear it too. And so, Lord, I pray we would really hear and apply it to our lives. Encourage your people. Feed your people today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read it last week, but I'm going to just remind us a little bit of who Zechariah was and what his issue was with the Lord. He and his wife were barren, and in that, in the first century, if you did not have children, that was blamed upon the woman. It was considered a curse of the Lord, and so there was reproach for both Zechariah and Elizabeth, especially for Elizabeth, but with Zechariah as well. They had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for a child and did not have one. And Zechariah, we're going to see that he's a little hard-hearted about that. And Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 6. They were both righteous, Zechariah and Elizabeth, before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Have any of you received news and it just seems too good to be true? Like, that cannot possibly be true. That is so amazing and so good. It's too good to be true. Zechariah, this is what happens to him. An angel appears to him. He's terrified when he sees him. He tells him about his son, that he's going to be great. He's going to prepare for the way for the Messiah. I mean, amazing. And Zechariah, what's his response? He's like, "Yes! Hallelujah! God's finally answered my prayer." Is that his response? What is his response? Verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." How shall I know this? There are many of us, I call it, we get stuck in our head. We get stuck in our head. All we can see is what's right in front of us. Some of us have gone through so many trials, so many things. Life has been so hard that we cannot imagine life outside of that. Some of us have gotten so used to sickness. We've gotten so used to fear. We've gotten so used to anxiety. We've gotten so used to fill in the blank, depression, oppression, that we just think that that's normal. We
just think that that's the way it is. And we get stuck in our head. And that is what Zechariah is. It's like, well, how can this be? That is not possible. And he's thinking in the natural. He's not thinking biblically, because biblically, Abraham and Sarah, they were able to have a child in their old age. But he's like, I think, and this is where I'm speculating a little bit, I think that his heart over the years, Proverbs talks about hope deferred. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When we have hope deferred, when we prayed for something for so long, when we've hoped for something, we want it, and we want it so badly, and we don't get it, our heart becomes sick. If we don't watch it, we get cynical. We get cranky. We get really grumpy and irritable. And our heart gets hard. And we might put guards up, and we step away from intimate relationships. We step away because it's too painful. How can this be? How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. You did not believe my words. And you look through scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, God, it says in Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please him. One of the things that I don't particularly like is, and you see it in the life of Abraham. I mentioned him already. Abraham. God tells Abraham, I want you to leave. I want you to leave your land and go to the land that I will show you. It's pretty terrifying. I want you to leave, and I want you to go. I'm not going to tell you where to go until you're going, but I want you to go. How many of us would do that? I would venture to say, I would hope that all of us would, but most of us would be like, I need more information. Where am I going? I'm not going to obey you, Lord, until you fill in the blanks for me. But Abraham was obedient, and he did what the Lord said. And then he tells him, you're going to have a son. And they don't believe it. Sarah laughs. And it was a long time coming. They made some mistakes in waiting. They waited so long. And Sarah finally says, here's my handmaiden. We're going to make this happen because this is taking too long. And they have Ishmael, and that caused a lot of trouble. And then God tells Isaac is finally born. And God later tells Abraham, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. And by that point, Abraham has walked with the Lord long enough that he's like, okay, God, you're faithful. You're faithful. I'm going to be obedient because I know that, and we learn this in the New Testament when it's talking about him later on in the New Testament, but Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. When he's getting ready to sacrifice his son, an angel comes and stays his hand. And what I don't like about that story, that's a really good story to read. I like it theologically. But in our lives, God wants us to trust him. And he will up the ante for us. He will up the ante. And he'll tell us to do something that's a little bit scary. It's like, okay, pass that test, building that muscle. We keep walking with Jesus. And he asks us to do something a little more difficult the next time. And a little more difficult and a little more difficult, because he doesn't want us to be like Zechariah and get stuck in our head. And he wants us to trust him. And the only way that our faith muscle gets bigger is if we take a risk. We hear his voice or we read the word like, man, this is what I'm supposed to do. Okay, this is scary, but I'm going to do this and build this faith muscle. And we move, and then something else. Oh God, really? Yep. What's that doing? It's building that faith muscle. And you look, it's not told any more clearly than in Numbers chapter 13, when God has delivered the Hebrews out of Egypt. He's crossed the things that they had that happened to them when they were in Egypt, with all of the plagues, and they see all the miraculous hand of God. God parts the Red Sea, and then he tells them, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. And in Numbers chapter 13, Moses says, I want you to go, and I want you to spy out this land. Let's just go, let's look at it. Let's see what it looks like. And so he sent spies into the land. And in Numbers chapter 13, verse 25, at the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people that dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there, so giants. These are people that are big people, tall. The Amalekites live in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them. The spies that went in, other than Caleb and Joshua, what are they looking at? They're looking at the situation. They're looking at things in their head. They're looking at things in the natural. And then at the end of it, they said, so they started spreading lies. When they came back to give a report, they were lying. And then there's something very telling at the very end of that. It says, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Their focus was on themselves. Their focus was on their circumstances. And they missed the promises of God because of fear and unbelief. And there are some of us that we have gotten so stuck in our heads of fear and unbelief that as we're going into 2024, we're bringing a whole lot of baggage in with us. We're bringing in a whole lot of fear. We're bringing in a whole lot of just baggage. And you may not have any hope for 2024 at all. Things are just going to be the way they've always been. Things are never going to get better for me. Things are never going to get better for my family. Things are hard. They've been hard, and they're going to remain hard. And you may not say that, but in your heart of hearts, you believe it. And the Israelites missed the promises of God. God wanted to just, it's like, I'm done with you all. And Moses interceded for them. And he said, all right, I will spare them, but they are not going to enter the land till this generation is wiped out. They're never going to enter because their hearts were hard. And they had unbelief in their heart. That's what happens if we let unbelief, hardness of heart, go on unchecked in our hearts. And I feel like God wants to deal with that in us today so that we can lay those things before the altar so that we're not like those people. And this is a new season for DuQuoin Methodist Church. I don't know what God wants to do here. I have hopes. I have dreams. I'm praying about that. And I hope you're praying about that. But y'all, this is a new season for us. Something new. What does God want to do? Start praying. Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And I don't want to bring in a lot of the baggage. If there is anger in your heart, harbor unforgiveness in your heart, anybody here, things that have happened here, it's time to lay those things down. Because the writer of Hebrews says, see to it that no bitter root grows up. Because if you have a bitter root in your heart, that's not only going to affect you, it's going to defile many. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. And so unbelief, hardness of heart, is a very big deal. It kept the children of Israel from entering in to the promised land. And yet, what do we do with our disappointment? What do we do? Psalm 77, I was reading that psalm a couple weeks ago, and I think it really applies here. And there's a phrase, we're going to get to this in there's a word here in Psalm 77. I'm praying into this because I don't know fully what it is, but this is a word. Psalm 77 is a person that is really disappointed. It's a person like Zechariah that has prayed a prayer, there's agitation, there's disappointment. Let's look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 77. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. The psalmist is saying, oh, God. Have you ever had such a deep cry in your heart, such a wound or such a disappointment, you don't even have words? All you have is moaning. That's where this guy is. When I remember God, I moan. Verse 4, you hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. And he's disappointed. He's looking back like, God. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Listen to these questions. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Wow, that's somebody that's been really disappointed, and he's honest. And we need to be honest with the Lord. If we have unanswered prayers, we have disappointments, we have things that just we're angry about that don't make sense, or things that have hurt us, and oh, we need to, number one, be honest. And I mean, he's laying it out there. Lord, is your promises, are they not true? Is your love, is this over? Is this all this just a game? But look at verse 10. Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work, and I will meditate on your mighty deeds. We remember what God has done. We remember this Christmas season, what God did in sending Jesus, that he brought his son, he brought him out, he gave him to us in a darkness, in an evil world. He brought Jesus to us, and he's with us. He's Emmanuel. He loves us. We remember those things, and sometimes we need to recount those things. He said, I'm going to remember what you've done. And then 16 on in this psalm, it's beautiful poetry of God parting the Red Sea. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea. Your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. It's that verse right there, that there's something on that. That's a word for us. And that's a profound, that's more than just beautiful poetry. I want to say that again. Hear this word. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. There are some of us that God has led us through the waters. God has led us through hard, hard things, and we feel like, God, where are you? God, where did you go? And yet he led us through, but his footprints were unseen. He's with us in the darkness. He's with us when we don't understand. He's with us when we cannot see. He led us through, yet his footprints were unseen. We need to remember that. As we head go, we leave 2023, we head into 2024. I don't know what's going to happen in the world. It seems like there's evil that's getting stronger. It seems like nations are going to start. But what do we stand on? Lord, your word says that you're going to be with me. Your word says that you're faithful. Your word says that your love endures forever, and you're going to lead us through. You're going to lead us through. Even though we can't see your footsteps, even though we can't see you, you're a shepherd. We're going to remember who you are. We're going to remember what you have done. How can I know this is true? He said to the angel. And there's discipline there. And scripture is very clear that the Lord's going to, he disciplines those that he loves. And so he couldn't talk all the time. He goes home, Elizabeth gets pregnant, and he cannot talk. John, his son, is finally born. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1:57, the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." Jeremiah had learned his lesson. The angel had told him that. And so it all, he had 9 months to just think about what had happened. And in that, there's repentance, because it's like, I missed it the first time. I was stuck in here. Yet look at what God did. And when he was finally obedient to what God had said, what happens? His name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid up their hearts, saying, "What then shall this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, I want you to hear and listen to Zechariah's song. Inspired, filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:68. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation." That means he's raised up power for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days." And he goes on and he prophesies about his son. But what is he doing there? He's saying, "God, you are faithful. You remember your covenant from of old." And we need to remember this New Year's Eve that God is faithful, that he has said, he's given us his promises, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And some of us need to repent of our unbelief. We need to lay before him our disappointments, and we need to give it to him, because God is faithful. God is faithful. When Jesus was born, 8 days, Mary and Joseph take Jesus to be circumcised. And there's a man I want to contrast Zechariah to. There's a man, verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. "There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple," and what does he see? He sees Mary and Joseph and that baby, and he knows that that baby is the Messiah. Three times in those verses, it says Simeon, he was filled with the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit. Zechariah was being led by his mind, led by reason, led by his feelings, led by his pain, led by his disappointment. Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't know what kind of heartache Simeon had had. Maybe he had had similar things happen to him, but he had laid those things down. And he was listening to the Holy Spirit. He could hear his voice. God had promised him, and he was waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. And he was obedient. He heard the prompting of the Spirit. "You need to go to the temple today." And he went, and that promise was fulfilled. And yet, what's the promise in Isaiah? That where there is great darkness, there is great glory. I believe we're entering into the greatest days the earth, that the church has ever seen. But with it comes darkness, and with it comes judgment. And we need to hear the voice of the Spirit. May we not be like Zechariah. And maybe if that's where we are, we need to be honest about it. We need to be honest about it and lay down our disappointments. Lay them down. Ask the Lord to heal. Ask him to restore. And Zechariah finally gets it. He repents, and then he sings a song. Lord, you're faithful. You're faithful. You're faithful. And he ends well. Simeon is filled with the Spirit, has expectation, is filled with hope. Peter tells us in his epistle, in 1 Peter, chapter 1, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's where we are. We believe in Jesus. We know there's hope. We know there's salvation, but we're waiting for the fullness of it to come. We're waiting for it to come. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Anybody relate to that? Have you been grieved by various trials? Yeah, a lot of us have. We've been grieved by various trials. So that, Peter says, the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Zechariah had gone through fire. He had gone through trials. God was wanting him to get strong. And yet he failed. Came out of it, but he failed because he didn't have faith. God disciplines him. He's filled with worship. Simeon was a man that was listening in the Spirit, that was filled with the Spirit. That's the people that we need to be. Give your disappointments, your hurts to Jesus. Lay them down. Surrender. We're going to talk more about that next week. In the red hymnal, page 607, there's a Wesley Covenant. Never been worked over by a prayer before. I want you to read that prayer. I'll read it in a minute. 607 in the red hymnal. Wesley essentially says, Lord, my life is yours. I surrender it to you. Put me on a shelf for your glory. Use me, but I surrender, Lord. I give myself to you. Wesley wanted all the Methodists to pray that prayer every New Year's Eve, every New Year. It's kind of a renewal of your baptismal vows. It's fresh surrender. And we all need to do that. It's a good principle. It's a good thing to do. Not a principle. It's a good thing to do. Because God is calling all of us to surrender. But lay it all down. Lay it all down. And as we enter into 2024, let's be like Simeon. That we've laid those things down. And now we're walking purely and wholly with Jesus. We can hear his voice, and he wants to give us hope. He wants to let us overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. And when we allow disappointments and all those things, it chokes out the word. It chokes out the joy. It chokes out what Jesus came to do. But Simeon had laid those things down, and he was ready. He was willing, and he ran to that temple, and he saw the fulfillment of the promise. I believe 2024 can be our best year yet. I believe we can see the promises of God fulfilled. I believe he wants to fill us all up with the Spirit. He wants to restore us. He wants to renew us. But it begins with the laying down of all of our disappointments, of talks about the birth of Jesus, and then it goes through the cross. And Richard's going to, he's going to play it through that verse. He's going to play it through for us so you can kind of get, so you can kind of get that tune in your head. But as we sing, it's an old, this is an old Christmas song. As we sing this song, it's Christmas. Jesus is not a baby in a manger anymore. He's with us. He died on the cross. He's coming again with great glory. And he wants to heal us. And he wants to restore us if we would but yield to him. Father, I pray that if we are like Zechariah and there's disappointment in our heart, that we've just been, life's been hard to us. And our hearts are hard and we're stuck in unbelief. Father, that you would forgive us for not believing. Not believing in that you're good. Not believing that you're faithful. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, we want to be like Simeon as we head into 2024. A man who was old man, but he was filled with the Spirit. He was listening to the Spirit. He could hear your voice, and you were giving him promises, and he saw the fulfillment of the promise in Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe and I know that the greatest days are ahead of you. Church. And Lord, we want to be that mighty army. We want to be that bride that has made herself ready. Lord, I thank you for a hope and a future for DeCoin Methodist Church. And Lord, I pray that we would have your heart. It begins with being a house of prayer. It begins, Lord, with humbling of ourselves. It begins with that in surrender, as Wesley said. And so, Lord, we just give ourselves to you afresh and anew. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Disappointment that you have, anger, unanswered prayers, just give those to Jesus right now. Be honest with him and say, Lord, I give this to you. Where there's hurt, deep disappointment, say, Lord, I need you to come into that place in my heart. He wants to come in, and he wants to heal, because he wants to bring us forward. Wants to bring us out of unbelief and into a place of faith and into a place of joy. But it starts with our honesty. Lord, we give those things to you. Help us to see you rightly. In Jesus' name. Amen. Richard's going to play through this hymn for us. And if I can find my glasses, I can go ahead and play that through. Christ our Lord, by heaven adored, is mighty now to save. Father, we love you. We thank you that you're faithful. We thank you, Lord, that you're true. We thank you that you're going to finish the work that you've started in us. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for us, that there's a future for us. And Lord, you're faithful. You are faithful. And we praise you and we love you. And Lord, I thank you that you are the God of all hope. And in that Wesley Covenant prayer, Lord, of surrender, of absolute surrender, and saying, Lord, you can do with me what you want. You can put me on a shelf. Lord, you can use me for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would do that work in us of absolute surrender, of consecration to you, of a people holy, a people set apart to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that where there is great darkness, that there is great glory. And Lord, I pray you would fill us all up with your Holy Spirit, that we would be men and women. Lord, your word says, my sheep know my voice. And Lord, may we become ever more aware of the voice of your Spirit at night, Lord, in our dreams, as we sleep, throughout the day, Lord, as we walk with you, as we get our hearts cleaned up, we repent of our unbelief, Lord, that your voice would become clearer to us so that we can be like Simeon, a man of hope, a man of promise, a man who's quick to obey, who's not stuck in his head, but is quick to obey. Lord, that's what we want to be as we enter into 2024. We love you, Jesus, and we want to be more like you. Fill us up with your Spirit. Fill us up